I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, heroes, welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. We're talking episode 87, or otherwise known as 24, Japanese Hero Billboard Chart, and we have a very special guest in the house. Welcome, Hawks. Woo!
Hey, hello, hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Surviving.
Surviving.
That's right. That's what we're doing. You know, we're trying, right?
You're out here, or in here, rather.
More yeah.
Accurate,
yeah.
More accurate.
The safety of our homes.
Exactly.
Is anybody liking quarantine? Like,
it has its perks.
Yeah.
I've been sleeping, like, and so that's pretty cool. You know, I'm not as busy, like, always going to work. So I'm sleeping
right.
A little bit more.
Good old R&R.
Well, welcome everybody who's joining us live. Have your questions for Zeno ready, and we'll ask him throughout the show. We're going to talk about the episode and a little bit more about Hawks, the character, which was such a fun introduction this episode. Yep. But first, real quick, let's go around. What did we think of this episode? Jamie, what do you think?
I really like this episode. I like that, you know, Ari, she's so lovable. Everyone loves her. So I love that she is out of the hospital. Yue wants to take care of her. And Hawks, you know, we get to see Hawks, although Ollie and I and whoever else saw the movie For Heroes Rising, we see Hawks there as well.
Right.
So congratulations, Zeno, because I know that this was like a huge dream for you too, to do all this. And I know we'll get into that later. But yeah, I just thought it was great. We got to see some new characters and we got to see Ari happy and smiling. Mm-hmm. Second episode in a row. So
right.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Nice. Ollie.
Yeah, it just obviously is a huge shift because I feel like it's getting, there were some more like comedic references in this episode, but I feel like it's getting a little bit darker with, we're seeing these far advanced Nomus, which are creeping me, they're F out, you know? So, but it's cool to have like these pro heroes. I said this earlier, I really want to see like an episode or even like an arc literally dedicated to the pro heroes because I'm so interested in them and I want to know more about them. Like Hawks, we just got him like into the mix finally. We saw him in the movie, obviously, but we have Endeavor, we have my girl Mount Lady. She's not in the top, but like, underrated for sure. But obviously, I really want to see more about the pro heroes life, especially because I feel like they're the ones who are dealing with like the more dark routes of like the arcs and what they have to deal with. So I really enjoyed this episode and be interested because I feel like there's going to be more politics implemented like moving forward into like season 5 probably.
Yeah. And Veronica, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of picking back off of what Ollie and Jamie have already said, this was a very great episode. I liked getting to see a little bit more of hero society and kind of what, you know, how they feel about this ranking system. Again, kind of what Ollie was saying, getting to see the heroes we haven't seen in such a long time is always fun. And yeah, congratulations, Zeno, because you're going like super beyond plus ultra, because not only did you get a fun, you know, celebration introduction for the movie, now you're getting another fun celebration introduction for the series. So yeah, really you're just killing it on that end.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to get in the studio and dub that whenever everyone's ready.
Nice. Yeah, it was such, it's fun because this character we've seen a little bit before, and I really liked how frank and blunt he was. I was like, yes, it's very refreshing of they're not all the same mentality of the approach to being a hero, and that's nice to see the world more filled out with the grays, not just something, you know, black and white and cut and dry. So it's like, yes, this character is giving us so much more. We learned that Ari's going to stay with UA with in the teacher's dorm. Mirio's going to look after her. So we're like, oh, cool. So that means she'll be around more, which is great. What do we all think of the wild, wild pussycats being back?
So happy that they're back. Oh my gosh, their intro is just always so, so fun. Honestly, like they would be my number one group cosplay if I were to ever do it. They're just so much fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, shout out to them also, because despite one of them losing their quirks, they're still such a team. They didn't disregard. I forget, was it Ragdoll? Who was the one that lost their quirk?
No, yeah, it was Ragdoll.
Yeah. So shout out to just the team as a whole, the Pussycat Dolls. Not the Pussycat Dolls with Nicole. No, but it's so cool that despite them losing one of their quirks, they're still there. They're still a team. They didn't ghost Ragdoll. So I really enjoyed that. And it made me, like, my heart, like, a flutter, because they're still a quadruple. They're not a trio anymore. They're not a trio. They still are such a strong team component. And I feel like that is just really vital to what makes up a valuable team.
Absolutely. And yeah, she calls herself the office lady cat.
You know, she's got to stay. She has to stay employed somehow, you know?
Yeah. But on that note too, it's just, I love this universe, and that we've already seen a couple people lose their quirk with Mirio and now Ragdoll, but I love their positivity. I love the fact that they are not letting the fact that they can normal kind of continue on with either their teams or kind of continue on towards their dream of becoming a pro hero. They're not letting that affect their, essentially, like, their mental health and their positivity. Like, they're still going on and they're still staying in great spirits and supporting everybody else. So I also really love that.
Absolutely. And what do you all think? We got Tanisha in the chat mentioned, and Coda with his red shoes to match.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
And he's like, that's cool.
He's cute now, but obviously when he was first introduced, I mean, he had a lot going on, but when he was first introduced, he was such a little brat to Deku, but it's really cute to see how, you know, Deku inspired him and how, you know, he has a more positive outlook on heroes.
Yeah.
So good.
So then we get the award show. We get a couple new characters introduced and a couple of our favorites. So we got Dragon Lady has gone from 9 to 10, but she really doesn't seem to mind. So I was like, okay.
But also, okay, but why did she move down when she was fighting her hardest? Like, what? In this season, are you kidding me? She went down. Like, she was kicking ass. I don't know about y'all, but I was not okay with that ranking. She should have went up. Thank you.
I want, like, a detailed spreadsheet of how ranking works.
Right? She's kicking butt. I was like, okay, way to move her down a notch.
Yeah. Then we have Kamui Woods is up to number 7. I was like, oh yeah, our boy that we've seen in a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's an OG.
And he's dating Mount Lady, y'all. Like,
great. I love how she was like, no comment. I was like, oh, she's funny.
Mount Lady, right. All the way down at 23, but hey, that's still in the top 25.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Maximum Hot 100. I love how they call it Billboard.
Right.
What did we think of a character that we've seen a little bit teased on the internet? And Zeno, I know you've tweeted about her too. Mirko, our bunny lady.
She's so calm. I love her.
Right?
She's like 98% of the reason why I watch this episode. The Hawks is like, honestly. Yeah. I freaking love her. For me, this was her episode. This wasn't even the Hawks episode. Because we had him in the movie. This was her debut. And Hawks is taking a backseat to that. Like, significantly more screen time.
Right?
Yeah, awesome. I want to see
more.
I'm
so excited, right? It was such a tease. We have one more episode, I feel like, and it's like, season 5, like a year away.
I need her to join the squad that was like Ryuku, Froppy, and Uravity, and I just need them to like go around and kick butt. And also Nezure. Like, I need that.
Yeah,
like lady gang going.
But what stood out to me from her is that she's all about, oh, you formed a team, ha, weakling. That's something that she said, and so I'm like, okay, she's doing it solo dolo. She is, what number is she, please remind me?
5.
It's like 5. Okay, so just the fact that she is very like so independent and she's so confident, that really just wants me to, that keeps my eye on her. I'm so excited to see what she is going to pull off in a future season, for sure.
Yeah, Okay, now a fun and comedic character, and I love everybody's take on Wash.
I just want to know why Wash is higher than the dragon. I want to know why, what they do.
I mean,
place them higher.
Veronica.
I was just gonna say, I thought it was so funny. It's like you have all of these like very tough looking heroes, you know. You've got Ryuk, who's essentially, like you were saying, you know, a dragon, and then Wash just going wash. It's like, how is this person ranked higher than some of these other heroes? But I mean, I just want to know.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. Maybe we have more to see. We'll see.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, when I first saw Fat Gum, I was also like, this is a very quirky hero. Wonder what he can do. And then we saw him kick butt. So never judge a hero by their name cover.
Well, the other thing, too, is the heroes are not necessarily ranked on its cases solved, but it's also fan rated in a way of what is their involvement with the community. So maybe Wash is really great in the community.
Really like, yo, bring all your heavy loads.
Everyone needs to do their laundry. Yeah. Like, it's so important. Do your laundry.
Clean hero. He's the hero we need right now, actually.
Right.
Sanitization.
especially for apartment life in quarantine. We have to pay like $1.25 to do our laundry. And that's not even for a dry.
A superhero can come by and do it.
There you go.
Why watch?
Yeah. So then we get our man Hawks, who points out that he should be even higher on the list because he's just that cool. Our 22-year-old who's owned his own agency since 18. And man, rocks the boat with that speech. Zeno, how do you feel about that introduction of your character? Of the TV.
Does he what? I think it's
because we had the movie introduction, so the TV intro.
So I, the TV introduction, I really like. I honestly I kind of like the movie introduction just a little bit more because he's slightly more mysterious in the movie, like he's because a lot of people who are coming into it didn't really if you didn't know who he was before, you definitely kind of don't know who he is when he shows up. And he like spends like a lot of the movie investigating, and like that's how you kind of get to see like who he is in the show. He doesn't really necessarily flat out tell you, but he does reveal a little bit more, or he doesn't play his hand, but he's very mysterious in his own way. And I think his intro on the TV show is great because it's an inkling at how he actually feels about the society that they live in, the hero society that the world is currently in, and how he feels about rankings and those kinds of things, like the popularity contests and everything.
Right.
Zeno, I had a question. Is your reaction also different? Because at the premiere, as soon as Hawks came on the screen, which this is what I love about anime premieres, but the whole crowd started cheering. Yeah, so of course, good. Like you're there, you're listening to, the crowd. Wow. That had to help.
Yeah, it does help. And also, especially for me, it was like, how did I do? Like, this is the first time I'm hearing it all put together. At home, I'm like doing it along with the subtitles. but yeah, it does. I think just that adds to it too. Just the movie was very special for me, because it was my first chance being Hawks, and it was and that line now is kind of like Hawks' signature line now. So yeah.
I will also add and clarify. His beginning talking about his ranking more because of popularity, not necessarily some, Nadia said it's not about arrogance. So I'll take it back. I don't know if I would call it arrogance, but he's extremely confident, which is great.
Yeah.
But he rubbed off on the audience. Some people are so surprised that he just spoke so frankly. And I thought it was really refreshing. I'm like Mirko. I was like, yes, thank you. I like that she liked his attitude.
Yeah, like Hawks keeps it real. Like he doesn't, he even says it that when he sees something that he wants, he can't really hold back. Like he can't really he can't really not express himself, even in times where he does do it like secretly. In Code, he always like is able to express himself somehow. Yeah.
I was gonna say I really like Hawks's personality. And I got to, of course, I was introduced to it with the movie premiere. But I will say, you know, watching it subbed, which is always like a little different as far as context, he's so nonchalant to me. And I think he's just straightforward, but I like that he just wants to live his life. He's like, listen, I'm just here to do my job, but yeah. Don't make it more difficult than it needs to be. And I like that. So it's nice to have more pro heroes that I'm fans of, because I feel like I'm more fans of like the UA heroes. So it's nice to get new characters.
What I like is like he's very much like this ranking stuff. Like any like when he has that scene with Endeavor, he's like, I don't really care about like I would rather be 30, like 30th in ranking. Like that would be easier for me to do my work. Mm-hmm. Like the ranking, the popularity stuff, that's not what matters to him as much as like the mission, as much as like helping people and being a hero. And that's what I really appreciate, because even in My Hero, when we looked at the pro heroes, a lot of them or some of them were very much about, oh, my ranking, I have to maintain my ranking or my popularity with the people. And Hawks is very much not about that as much.
Right. And it's such an interesting juxtaposition, obviously, him being paired with Endeavor, seeing them interact. Endeavor feels like he has to kind of enact of kind of like All Might or even like Hawks, and he's kind of failing it as we see in this episode, whereas Hawks is just so nonchalant, he's just having the time of his life, and everyone's actually like very fearful of Endeavor still at this point, despite him being number one. So it's just a very interesting kind of like I said, juxtaposition in how these characters are handling the situation, especially since Endeavor's been in the game for a while. Hawks is 22, but Endeavor's is trying his best to be at the number one spot, and Hawks is just like almost at that spot, yet he's only 22, you know. Yeah. So it's such an interesting thing to watch, and like, I mean, Endeavor, watch out for that number one spot, right?
Well, for me, what I really like about Hawks is that he's his own hero, and he kind of even says it to Endeavor, and that he's, you know, he doesn't dislike All Might, but he's not someone who super idolized him either, and, you know, kind of wants to live up to be a hero that All Might can be proud of, or a hero like All Might. And not to jump too far ahead, we even kind of see it with Endeavor, how now he's the number one hero. He's trying to essentially act like All Might because he thinks that's the persona that you need to have if you're in the top 10. But Hawks is he's very genuine in that he's his own hero. He doesn't feel he needs to fit into any type of persona. He just knows his morals, and he just knows what his goals are, and that's kind of how he wants to live his pro hero career, not necessarily fitting into what someone thinks a pro hero needs to look like or needs to act like.
Yeah. Right.
And then another really cool thing I loved in this episode, because we didn't get it a lot in the movie, where it was like, well, what is the nature of his quirk? Like, don't tell me he can just fly. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
There's so much those wings and feathers can do. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Wait till the next episode. you'll see. Yeah. Like, not jumping too far ahead, but I think the next episode is going to explain a little more in depth about his quirk too. So
a couple of people in the chat have mentioned the next episode gets more into the backstory, which I'm looking forward to that. Veronica, what did you think of all the extra cool stuff those wings and feathers can do?
Oh my gosh, what a useful quirk. I mean, obviously he uses it for the greater good and being a hero, but I'm just like, if I had that quirk, I would be so lazy. I'd be just like going to go, like, I'd stay in my bed, I'd use it to like go get food from the fridge. Yeah. But, like, I'd use it to do all my chores. Like, it's,
you think Hawks
it's
is
fun.
Hawks is like, get my donuts, feathers.
Nice. Jane, what do you think of the quirk extraness?
I mean, it's very extra. But no, I like that he really utilizes his quirk, which I wanted to ask you, Zeno, because this has been a dream of yours, and you get to voice a character that people actually like. Like, it's one thing to voice a character, but to voice someone who's becoming popular, I feel like that's a dream. What does that feel like, you know, especially for a huge show like My Hero? It's kind of becoming another like big three kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of I wouldn't say a lot, but it's definitely like, it definitely is a responsibility, I think, a little bit, because like sometimes everything you can say can be like, oh, like this is a spoiler, or like this is how it's gonna be because the voice actor is saying it. Like sometimes people can, or sometimes in my mind, I think like things that I'll say can be interpreted by the fans as fact, when it could be just me speculating or like me like theorizing with the fans as a fan. But it's also like a responsibility and like, oh, I have to stay true to this character because fans like this character, and I don't want to, you know, let them down, but I also want to honor what I think the character is too. So it's very much a responsibility, I think, in that sense, where like I want to stay true, like in all things I do in the future, to maintain Hawks's consistency. But also grow and evolve, and as I learn about how Hawks is, that might inform my performance moving forward. So it's definitely a bit of that too. Like, I have to honor this because there are people who like are huge fans and who know about this character, and who, and everyone has their ideas of what he should be, how he should sound like. So it's trying to like honor that and staying true to what I see the character as well.
That's a good point.
Now, Zeno, as a voice actor coming into this show, and now that you're part of it, do you read ahead in the manga to see what happens to your character, or do you like going episode by episode?
I read ahead. I think it's very, for me personally, it's very imperative to know kind of where the character ends up, so I know how to take them there. So what to reveal and what not to reveal. Like, there are, as soon as I heard I got it, I started reading ahead from where I was, because usually I just wait for the anime. So I started reading ahead to get more into the mindset of Hawks. And I think that for the film, inspired or informed decisions I made as an actor, like, when should Hawks get really serious? And when should Hawks stay nonchalant? When is he confident? When is he playful? And I think all those things are informed by things that happen as he's just has more screen time or panel time in the manga. So yes, I read ahead and I'm all caught up, and yeah.
Do your research, y'all. Gotta do the research like Zeno.
Piggybacking off of what you were saying, Zeno, so obviously you read ahead in the manga, and so that's what you do to help prepare you as a voice actor, but as a fan, you know, Hawks is a very powerful and high-ranked hero, and so much what we've seen so far is, you know, society has to deal with the League of Villains, they, you know, the pro heroes have to deal with the Haisekai group, you know, there's been so much danger. Why do you think they've kind of kept someone who could be a real asset in these groups away until now? Like, why do you think he's introduced so far into the series as a viewer or reader?
I think it's one of two things. I think maybe one, like, Horikoshi-san was like, oh man, I should make this character, like, he'd be great. But if it's not that, like, if he just didn't come up with the idea, like, as the manga progressed, I think Hawks has a very big role in the hero society that I'm not sure has been revealed yet, but he has a very big role, and that role requires him to be away from the rest of the pro heroes proper, and mostly away from society, in order to work on behalf of the hero organization, the hero association. So I think the reason why, and I think that it does get explained a little later about why he wasn't at Kamino, why he wasn't at UA, is because he's off doing other things, working on behalf of the heroes for the safety of everybody, which makes him unavailable for, like, you know, things that are happening in the city, in the cities. But yeah, that's why I think they hold off, because they're like, this is one of our stronger assets. He needs to be doing this important thing over here, and then we have All Might for anything else before All Might retired. And this is that. That's probably why Hawks is now coming out of the shadows, because All Might's not around.
I was gonna say, was that
right? I was just gonna kind of piggyback off that and say, I kind of see where you're going with that, because I had that same thought, Zeno. And what the idea I got from the movie was that it seems like Hawks is very good at research and tracking. And, you know, maybe like they're always having him to be looking out for clues or on a lead of some other case. And so I definitely kind of get the same sentiments in what you were saying of why he's always gone.
Yeah. What I will say is, like, he's always, Hawks ultimately, his quirk and him as a person, his personality, and just how his backstory has led him to be definitely a resource in reconnaissance. I'm trying to say it as least spoilery as I can. But he definitely is very much an intelligence kind of gatherer hero.
Well, speaking of little nuggets of information and the city, while they're walking around, we get a little moment with the shame quirk and the metahuman liberation, which is like, prediction. That would probably be spoilers, but we should chat about that later. Mm. But we find out from Endeavor or the conversation between Hawks and Endeavor, that that's pretty much connected to the Nomu rumors. And then Hawks suggesting that they team up together to work on this. What did we all think of the idea of a team up? Because Endeavor seems very not team player kind of a person.
I like that he's opening up, because I mean, we're used to him being so cold, even though he has the fiery quirk. But I like that we got to see him just even trying to be open and being nicer to the civilians, you know, and it didn't work. And I think that he just needs to be himself, but I like that he's trying. And even with Todoroki, we kind of see a little bit of that dynamic shift too. So I'm hopeful for him, but I feel like, again, he's trying to fill that void of All Might not being there. So, yeah.
Ollie, what do you think of that team up possibility?
Well, first and foremost, I just love kind of seeing how confident Hawks is as a person, and it's not cockiness. I feel like cockiness is something that isn't very attractive, but Hawk, there's just something about him that's just so natural. There's something that even in this short episode, we saw him being natural, being very confident, not cocky, like I said. And so just to see him with someone, a character who's just been trying so hard to overcome, you know, someone like All Might, which is obviously, you know, what's his face? Oh my God, I can't even talk right now. But yeah, it was just, I don't know if that would essentially work in a sense, because I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like it's weird how Hawks is lower ranked, yet he just seems like he's more far superior to where Endeavor is, you know? So I feel like Endeavor has so, it's an example of Endeavor having such an amazing quirk. But Endeavor, it's not all about having an amazing quirk. It's about having, you know, presence. It's about having likability, charisma that Hawks has. So I think that's something that, despite having an amazing quirk, you need to work on. You know, you need to learn the ground rules. You need to be able to be charismatic. You need to be likable. You need to be able to give back to your community, which is something that Hawk is apparently amazing. You know, Hawks is amazing at doing that.
Hawks is pretty cool.
Yeah, little bit, but definitely Endeavor needs to work on, you know, kind of giving back to his community is kind of what I think of.
Real quick, we got Jay Bird in the chat says, I still hate Endeavor, but I like the team up idea.
I think Endeavor just has such a hard exterior. Obviously, he's done some really messed up things. But I think that this team up is very important because, kind of like you were saying, Ollie, Endeavor needs a chance to change. But I think that he's going to have a very hard time because, as I kind of said earlier, I think he's trying, in entering the number one spot, he feels he has to be like All Might, which he is not in the slightest. And he's trying so hard to kind of have that symbol of peace flair that he had. And it makes people feel very weird because it's so not Endeavor. So I think teaming up with Hawks is going to be very important for him because he's going to realize, oh, I can change, but I don't have to fit into somebody else's persona. You're your own hero. You're going to help me figure out how to be my own hero while being able to change and be kind of more giving to the community, more a positive light that people can count on.
Yeah, that was so funny and like sad when the kid wants the autograph. Endeavor tries to be nice and the kid is like hardcore fan and he's, that's not what you're like, and goes away.
You're not right.
It reminded me of Space Jam. I don't know if anybody, if you don't watch Space Jam, unfollow me. But I don't know if you guys saw it, but she was like, you're not Charles Barkley. You a fraud. It's so funny. It's so funny. And that's exactly what it reminded me of. So watch Space Jam on Netflix after this.
Well, it's like that whole Enigma complex. I feel like Endeavor has this complex of just kind of everyone fears him, or he's just like this legend that he's doesn't have a personality. He's creepy. He's scary. He's so powerful. And I feel like there's just, I feel like having a heart, trying to have a heart and kind of like delve into this character, I feel like there is a lot. There's something within him that we haven't yet discovered. I would like to think, seeing the good of everyone. But yeah, I feel like we need to like just like delve into and dig into Endeavor and kind of uncover what are we missing with him, because he is the scary person that we don't really know, despite him being number one, you know. So I just feel like there is a lot to kind of uncover and unpack with him moving forward, and hopefully we get that in the next episode.
Yeah, a couple quick moments from the chat. Lee is an alien said, he's trying to change, please. Nugget Senpai says, you can tell Endeavor is trying to change. And then Lauren C says, Endeavor has a lot to learn from 22-year-old Hawks, and he knows it. The team up is going to be so important to Endeavor's growth as a person. And then also real quick, couple funny ones. We get VS Redemption says, I want to take a selfie with Hawks. And Lee is an alien says, honestly, same. it's a great moment that shows Hawks is just so comfortable with people. Like, yeah, selfie, what's up? Hey, how's it going? Mm-hmm. So then from the lightheartedness there while they're hanging out and trying to figure out a plan, what do we think of that giant creepy Nomu that comes out of nowhere and goes to attack?
It was scary, but I liked the excitement where I was like, whoa. Then I was like, all right, here we go. It's about to get exciting, especially since the last episode is going to be next week. And it, again, I like how it, because it's heroes, it's kind of like, you feel like you're in the comic book world a little bit too, especially with him coming pretty much through the window unexpectedly. I thought it definitely did the effect of surprising me and wanting more. And I think it also makes sense. When you're at the top, everyone's going to come for your spot. So it's like, Endeavor, get ready. And I think that for them to kind of use that symbolism, that's across the board. So, yeah.
Veronica.
Yeah. Nomus are weird. but what I do like is that we're slowly kind of segueing back into the world of the League of Villains that we haven't seen for a majority of the season, aside from like little pieces here and there. So I'm kind of ready to get back into this group and see what they've been up to, especially Dobby, because we got a little bit of a glance at what he's been up to. So I'm excited for that.
Actually, that brings a couple of people in the chat. So Zeno, I don't know what you can say on this because I feel it'd probably be spoilery. Okay. Into the next episode, they're like, what do you think of Dobby Hawks?
So Dobby Hawks is a ship. It's a ship that a lot of the MHA community ship. They ship Dobby and they ship Hawks. I've been asked this question before. there's no spoilers. So people ask me what I think, and I, especially after the recent chapters, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm with it. I love that you guys like it. I love that the fandom loves it. So maybe I have to go back and read more interactions between Dobby and Hawks to understand. But I'm like, I guess in my head I'm just like, but Dobby's a villain. Like I don't get it.
How did that like come about as a possible ship? Is that something in the manga?
I think in the manga there's scenes between the two of them interacting okay. That has led to people going, oh, this could be like a pairing, and this is me trying to be as spoiler free as possible.
Sure, yeah.
But people, I think based on like stuff that they've seen in scenes in the manga, it's like, oh, we like this pair. We like Dobby and Hawks. And I think it's also that kind of opposites attract thing. Like wow, like these two people who like kind of couldn't be more different, but are kind of similar. We like to see them together because it'd be interesting to see them interact.
Who do you ship?
Oh, sorry. As far as Hawks goes?
As far as Hawks goes.
I'm not sure. I'm inclined to say Hawks Miruko because I like Miruko.
Ooh, because yes. Miruko is
my waifu, but yeah.
Any of the students you've shipped?
I do very much like Kirishima and Mina.
I like that
a lot of Kirishima's like inspiration to become a hero was off of her, and like he like kind of like admires her from afar, and she's just like really cool. She could break down,
right?
And she's with like
he's all about like hardening himself, yet she has the acid quirk about breaking people down, bringing those walls down.
That's a good
time. Right. I like that. I like that.
Someone else pointed out, Set B pointed out, the Nomu taught. Previously, they could not. So, that's something
terrifying.
Yes. let's hold on to our predictions for a minute. And we're going to do really quick, speaking of our, as Zeno said, waifu. So our special segment, our word of the day, we'll do the word for bunny, which is usagi.
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 So if you're a romance, U-S-A-U-I, Usagi for bunny and rabbit. So yeah.
Isn't Miracle's last name Usagiyama? Isn't it Rumi Usagiyama?
Different. Well, sure, her last name can go. I didn't say what it was, but rabbit in the name.
if I'm correct, that's cool.
I mean, we have hound dog, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
I love how straightforward some of these quirks are. Quirk? Dog.
Quirk, bunny. Hardening, hardened. That's what it does.
All right, Zeno, question for you. What has been your favorite line to do to say as Hawks thus far?
That I can say.
That could be like a cool one. He says a line.
I really like "Don't bite my head off, Endeavor." I just now flew in. I don't know if that's me or just the way that line got everybody, and now it's like the staple line for Hawks. But I really like that line now. That's probably my favorite. You know, it was the first line, and it's just it captures his personality so well.
Yeah. The chat says you are right about Mirko's last name.
Boom. I know my wife.
It's that colorful Japanese first name is Usagi. Serena is we acknowledge, okay? I don't care if that's her name is Usagi. Her name is Serena.
That's all. Serena. All right. And then, what has been the most difficult line? Maybe you had difficulty saying or getting into it, and how did you overcome that?
I think me and Colleen were doing a line in the movie, and there was something about it that didn't feel right. I'm wondering if it was when he was talking about the nature of nine, and he was like, I wonder if this is has anybody ever had the possibility that this is like this, like this is a situation like All for One. And this was when I was still kind of figuring him out, and he had this expression that he looked like incredibly bored, and like his eyes were very low, and we did it, and then she had me do it a few times, and then we moved on, and then she was like, and as we moved on, she was like, wait, I like kind of like how your energy is on this line, how you're doing now. Can we go back to these takes and do it? And I knew like for time, we were just like, okay, those are good. We'll just keep moving on. But she wanted to go back, because I think like I had hit an energy that wasn't bored. Because sometimes Hawks is on that borderline of like cool and bored, you know, sometimes, or cool and lazy or too relaxed, you know, and that's not Hawks. Hawks is laid back and he's cool, but he's always thinking and he's always, you know, processing, and he's all, you know, so I think there was like an energy thing that was kind of messing me up in the, when we were doing the movie. So I think that was the hardest thing was finding that balance between like, between cool and, cause that's, I think that's the difference between like Hawks and like Aizawa, right? Aizawa is like very, you know, like lazy, I'll do it later. And like Hawks is very like laid back, cool, we're having a good time, until I need to do something, you know. So.
Nice. I had a question as well, because I did see, and of course, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've done a lot of other voiceover work, and I did see that you also played Kelby on Cannon Busters. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I've seen Cannon Busters. I gotta say, also love the theme song. The
Thank
theme
you. Fire. Never bought.
It is a theme song. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But what was it like being on Cannon Busters? Especially for me, it's personal because I grew up on DBZ. I wasn't a fan of how they drew the black people. I'll just say it. But this one, you know, we see more people of color in anime. What was that like working on that show for you?
Cannon Busters was a very, very gratifying show. Yeah, because like you said, like there aren't a lot of people of color in anime, and a lot of people of color, especially black people, love anime, and we embrace it and we love it. And there are some properties that don't love us back as much. And it was just very gratifying to see, not only was it a project that featured and starred black people, but it didn't come with our racial stereotypes. It didn't come with, and it was a black man had created it. It was a black director who directed it. It was a very powerful thing for me to be a part of, and the black community carried it as well. We didn't get a lot of advertisements, so how big it got and all the buzz it got was because of you guys, was because of the fans, and was because of the black community that really, really, really pushed it and shared it, you know. Yeah. So I love being a part of it. It was like kind of like one of those once in a lifetime things, you know, where you have a project that's like about magic, but black people, and robots, but black people, and it wasn't like they're black. It was just they were them. They were people. They just looked black, you know. So it was
really, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did anybody else on the panel have a question or two before we move into predictions?
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, cool. Do it.
Zeno, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for being very courteous and cautious about not spoiling anything for us on this panel, because obviously we're all anime only. But kind of going off of that, you know, I've seen my fair share, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen their fair share of My Hero Academia panels or the cast talking about the show, and they have to stay very quiet about spoilers. But if someone's like a fan is engaging with you on Twitter about the manga, and they're like, oh my gosh, can you believe that this happens to Hawks and stuff like that, yeah, are you, as the voice actor, are you technically allowed to engage and talk about that, or do you have to kind of steer clear of it because it's something that will eventually be adapted and happen in the anime?
You know, that's something that I'm learning. In fact, I did that today. I got canceled today because people, they reach out to me and they comment about stuff that Hawks does now, which is like so far beyond like what we are at in the anime now. So I try when I respond to talk around what's going on, you know. But sometimes I just think that's not enough. Like I've seen people on Twitter going like, oh man, I looked under Twitter and I saw a spoiler and I'm upset. So I think like in the future moving forward, I have to be very mindful. Even today when I mentioned about what happens in the latest chapter, I was talking very much around everything. I was like, well, this blankety blank and this blankety blank, like people who read the manga will know. So I have to like be mindful of like engaging and interacting with fans and theorizing as a fan, but also like as an actor and as someone who represents a character, who's playing a character, I have to also honor that and people who aren't that far and be mindful of that as well. Like that's a responsibility also that I have. So I try to be mindful. I try to be mindful. I try not to spoil, but I try to interact. I just have to learn how to navigate that. So it's not a no man's land, but it is a tricky thing to navigate.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah.
On Twitter said, or on the comment said, Twitter is like the wild, wild west.
Yeah, a little bit. But like, honestly, I think just everybody, I'm having a lot of fun. Like even if I don't think I really got canceled, but it's like having discourses and talking about the show and talk and theorizing and I think that's what another thing about like the things I say might be like fact and it's not, but like I chimed in with something that I was theorizing about Hawks and I don't want everybody to think that that's law, but that's just kind of what I think coming from my my limited so far knowledge of the character.
Because at the end of the day, you're still a fan of the show,
like, right? And at the end of the day, I'm following like two people. I'm following, you know, my Japanese counterpart's acting, and I'm also following the mangaka. I'm following his story as well. So ultimately, it's his story, and I'm just, you know, bringing a part of it to life. So I don't know as much as other people don't know, but these are my theories.
All people in the live chat were saying thank you for earlier. Caitlin Rose says it was very fun discussing everything with you earlier today. We love debates. Oh, cool. And a couple other people enjoyed the discussion earlier. I'd like to ask you too, is as a voice actor, what is some advice you wish you could have given yourself when you started?
Don't lose side of why you started, I think is don't get caught up in trying to get the job or be the best person or do the right thing to the point where you forget to have fun and to love your art. I think is the advice I give myself, because I think along the way, you know, when you're auditioning a lot and you're getting close to things and not booking them, or especially like roles that you might have wanted to audition for, it strips away your love for your art. It strips away like the fun you had when you started acting, because you're doing it just because it was fun, and it starts becoming, oh, I need to book this job to pay my bills, or I need to get this job so I can play this character, you know. So that's what I'd say is like don't in the midst of everything, like, forget your love for your art.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
That's great advice today.
Great. It's the truth. Like, yeah.
We got Jessica Senpai in the chat says, your reactions are the best. Please don't stop with them.
I thank you. I will try not to. But I definitely want to be mindful of everyone.
Hawkeye Fish says, do voice actors get stressed out, especially as a dub voice actor? And if you do, how do you cheer up?
Yeah, we definitely do. Because kind of a lot of voice actors, especially dub voice actors, especially the ones that I know, they deal with a lot. Like there are some fans who really like their work, and there are some fans who are very sub-only fans, and they're sub-only fans to the point where dub is like a sin.
Ridiculous.
And like us as actors, like I said, we love it, so we pour our hearts into this stuff, and we audition all the time, and you know, we face rejection like everybody else. So like, there's a character we really want to play, we don't get it, you know, it stresses us out. And then, you know, even when we put our art out into the world, and then there are people who are like, you've ruined this entire show for me because of the way you portrayed a character. It really it could stress you out, especially as someone who, if you put a lot of love in your work, you know, and somebody's like, dub is trash, you know, like, it hurts. So I think managing that is also the other side, where there are people who are like, oh my god, like, I love what you did, or this is exactly how I imagined this would go, and it's like, oh, okay, whew, like everything that all the work I put in has been appreciated, you know, or it's been received in a way that makes me appreciate how much I've grown as an artist. So, and it's also just like just doing what you love, like how else you manage stress, like playing a game or watching a good show or working on your craft, being in classes. I sometimes manage stress by like being in acting classes and being like, oh, this is what I can do better, this is how I can learn. So it's like all kind of stuff that's just stuff that's good for your mental health. Maybe even staying away. Don't read the comments on YouTube. Yeah.
Cool, thank you. Actually, a funny question, the last question. Thank you so much, everybody who joined us in the live chat, by the way. Thank you for all your questions. Please click that thumbs up button, subscribe, comment down below. So fun question and tied into voice acting. Nadia Rose says, Zeno, what's your favorite Hawks pose? And then I would like to add, do you do any of those poses while you're recording?
My favorite Hawks pose is, I think, when he does this. I really like that. I really like when he does that. I I don't know if I put on a Hawks pose because his pose is kind of hard to do because he's flying all the time. But I okay. do find myself tending to fold my arms when I record Hawks or put my hands in my pockets. Like that's very much a Hawks thing to do, is to speak with his hands in his pockets or with his arm. Because I just think about like doing this with my arms folded just makes me a little more relaxed, or putting my hands in my pockets. So those are, and I haven't been able to do a lot of Hawks, so this answer might change in the future, but like so far, like that those have been my like kind of go-tos for being favorites of like posing for Hawks.
Cool, thank you. And then from Veronica, Ollie, Jamie, any final other comments before we do some really quick predictions?
That's it. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, thank you for bringing this. I know you were saying like some people are very sub versus dub, but honestly.
But you know the Hawks, I will say though, the Hawks fans have been really dope. Like I haven't heard one person be like, you destroyed my favorite character. Like literally everybody has been so nice and have been like, which is very gratifying for me as an artist, and is a testament to Colleen as a casting director. People have been like, this is exactly how I pictured him to sound like from the manga. Like when I read Hawks, I read it in your voice. Like that's like very, it means a lot. So people have been nice to me, but not everybody gets that treatment. And I'm pretty sure I won't get that treatment across everything that I do. So, but this character specifically, it's been really well received.
Nice. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you again. All right, let's do one quick prediction. Let's go. Veronica, do you have a quick prediction on what we think is going to happen next?
The Nomu fight.
All right, Ollie.
I mean, far, far preceded prediction. I think Mirko, we're going to see why she's at where she's at, because I'm so excited for her. She's awesome. I'm just so excited for season 5. I know it's just very bittersweet that we have one more episode left, unfortunately.
Yeah, all right. I don't have too much predictions, but yeah, I mean, we know there's going to be the Nomu fight. Endeavor is going to have to really, show his skills, which we've seen him fight, but I think this one it's going to be more him and Hawk, so I'm excited to see that, and I'm excited for the cliffhanger too, just because this has been a pretty good season. I think we've gone through a lot emotionally, so I'm excited to kind of see where that leads to. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty cool fight next. I feel Endeavor and Hawks will be a good team up, and I'm curious if they could do some sort of melding of their quirks, because that's always what's really fascinating, is when you get different quirks and how they can combine them to make an even better quirk. Again, thank you so much, Zeno, for coming in. Joining us digitally. Of
course. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Good rest of. I know you guys have others coming up, or other talks coming up today. So have a good one.
Thank you.
Well, real quick, Zeno, do you have any projects you can tease right now, or just a bunch of NDAs?
Yeah, probably just a bunch of NDAs. Hopefully I'll get to dub these two episodes of Hawks soon. That's probably something I don't know. I think that's kind of it that I could say. But yeah, so look forward to one day seeing these two episodes.
Where can people find you online?
Childish Gambino everywhere, Twitter and Instagram. That's everywhere for me. So yeah, that's where you can find me. And right. Come by, say hi.
And Veronica, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me, Veronica Valencia, everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at it's me, Veronica_V.
And Ollie.
Hey guys, it's Ollie Drennan. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ollie Dreamer.
All right, Jamie. I'm Jamie Gray. You can find me on Twitter at it's Jamie Gray, or on Instagram at Jamie Gray, but spell it right, J-A-I-M-I.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. Join us in live chat. A huge thank you to Zeno. It's great talking with you about the show, and congrats on the role, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are wonderful. this is awesome.
All right, nice. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.